Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Hey, Bob, our friends at Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchens have redone all their kitchen stores, and over the next 3 weeks, they're going to have grand reopenings at all of the stores. This past Thursday, on the 22nd, they had a grand opening at their Grand Rapids store. Everything's remodeled, all new displays, all new product in all of their stores. They are ship-shape and ready to go, and we'll be talking about that with them here in the next week or two about the openings that are coming in. But really cool, and if you're looking to do any remodeling or you got a new home or you need kitchen and bath products, that's it's a great place. They got all the latest stuff. But anyway, I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. It is the smokiest show on the radio. And we appreciate you taking a little time to hang out with us because we're just a couple knuckleheads throwing our meat on the grill and trying to act like we've got hard buns.
Right. And some of that I have and parts of it are gone. So we'll have to deal with that. But you know what?
Life goes on. I hope it's the buns.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Well, it's certainly great grilling weather. You're not going to sweat to death in the Great Lakes right now.
Right.
It's just beautiful days. Yesterday I was at a golf outing at Carrier Great Lakes is who I work for, and we had our annual golf outing at Timber Ridge Golf Course. It was 77 and sunny. Dude, it's the first time this year I've hit the ball, and I hit like a champ. Of course, I always play well when it's just a scramble.
Well,
because there's no pressure, and I'm a long hitter. If I hit it straight, I'm good. If I don't, who cares? You got somebody else with you.
Right.
But I hit the ball really well, and I'm thinking I should have been playing more this summer because I missed a whole summer again.
Yeah, I've been playing every week, and you know what? It's whatever. If you enjoy it, that's good. I don't play competitive anymore, and that's fine, right? I go to have fun. I drink a few beers. I play 9 holes of golf with guys I work with, and it's just a lot of fun.
We had a pool party last weekend. You came.
Yep, I was there.
And Saturday morning at 10:30, my wife says, Emily told me to remind you that you're doing barbecue. Now, this thing starts at 4. And I'm like, oh, that's this one. Because we had another party the next day, a shower for Maggie, baby shower. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I ran down to the big box store, grabbed a couple butts real quick. And I knew I had to escalate my game. So I used my pellet smoker, my Grilla, my Silverback, and I cut these butts in half so I could reduce the bulk. And I rubbed them all the way around, right? And I jacked up my temperature to 325.
Okay.
And I set those babies on there. I did 325 for about 4 hours. I wrapped them because they got up to, you know, 1.5 pretty quick. I wrapped them and cranked it up to 375. And by 4 o'clock, I was pulling some beautiful pulled pork. Lesson to this, if you have to speed up your game, you can do it.
When did you
cut
them on?
Those things about 11 o'clock.
Okay, so you did it in five hours rather than 12. Right.
5 hours. You could not tell the difference. Actually, I think they were some of the best butts I ever did.
Do you have bark on them
Because by cutting them in half, I had more bark.
Okay, right.
That's a chipper company.
Right.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And the day turned out great. You showed up kind of late, but about perfect timing because all the kids were starting to wind down, and we had a lot of people there, mostly young folks. And
yeah, no, that's fine. I just
had
a busy day, too.
Because I needed one other geezer. My brother-in-law, Paul, was there, Paul the plumber down in Jonesville.
Yep.
And he and I were – I had this beautiful bottle of scotch I'd been saving. It's something I bought per my brother's recommendation, and it was really pricey. Siciliano's ordered it for me, and it was really pricey. And so pricey, I won't drink it.
Right.
But he's my favorite brother-in-law, and it's like, okay, I'm going to get this out for him. I poured him a glass of that, and I got myself just a nice, I think it's called Rosebud Bourbon. It's a $24 bottle of bourbon, nothing pricey, but really nice. So I got myself a glass of that. We went and sat out back by the pool at the end and in the shade, and I got some cigars out, and it was just a fantastic place to relax with a nice glass of bourbon and scotch. This dude was lapping me. He's drinking the most expensive scotch I've ever bought.
Right. Well, it's what you bought it for, though, right?
He's lapping me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm feeling no pain at all, to the point to where I don't even want to get up and get him another one.
Right.
But I did.
Right.
And I did. And I did.
Well,
and he drained it.
There you are. Right. That's what you bought it for.
There was probably 2/3 of a bottle when we started.
Oh, so you had gotten into it.
Yeah, I had served it a couple times, but it was, you know, something I was really
right.
sparse with, because, you know, I don't know. I don't like drinking expensive stuff like that for me.
Right. Well, it's a quality, not quantity equation there, and that's generally not how we roll.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, I have a question for you. I've not prepped you on this one, but later today, I'm catering a wedding for one of my Shartaki buddies.
Oh, yes.
Right? His son is getting married, and had the privilege of going down there and serving food for these guys.
Yep.
I have fresh green beans. And I said, how do you want those prepared, guys? And
oh, the asparagus is off?
No. It's with it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So I'm going to grill the asparagus. That's easy. I'm bringing a tech down. We're going to do that. But the green beans, right? I got fresh green beans. And I said, well, how do you want those cooked? And they're neither of these guys are cooks. And I said, okay, mushy or crisp? We'll go like that. I'm thinking a green bean casserole with, you know, or
oh, no,
well,
no,
I understand.
No,
no. Yeah. So they said crisp, because yeah. I didn't know how they like
right,
beans.
Right.
Right. I've got 30 pounds of beans because I got 120 people.
It's easy.
All right. But I have to get all my stuff off the smoker here, drive an hour, and go there. And I'm thinking that I got to cook the beans there. And no. I'm only going to have a grill with me, the tech.
You know, you're okay.
How would you prepare them?
You're okay. Use your aluminum pans.
Right.
Use some butter EVO from Old World Olive
Got
Company.
Got it, yep.
And drizzle them with butter. Make sure you spray those pans with some Pam before you do. Drizzle lots of that EVO. Put a blended salty pepper spice on it and foil them. Throw them in your oven and bring them up to the temperature you want. Throw them in your locker box. They won't continue cooking.
Okay, but
make them a little.
But I'm gonna leave at noon to drive down there because it's yep. an hour drive. I gotta serve at 5.
Yep.
So you're saying from 11 to 5, if I pull them out at 11:30, because there's a lot of them, it's 30 pounds.
Put them in your Cambro with everything else.
Right, and they'll stay fine, and they'll be ready to eat.
Just do them in your oven though, so you can control that temperature perfectly and check them off, and you want to pull them a little earlier than you would serve them, because they'll. With all that heat in there, they will cook a little bit.
So I don't need any moisture in the bottom to, like, steam them?
No.
Are you covering them when you put them in the oven?
Yes, you are. They've got moisture in them.
Okay. So we're gonna cover these things and cook them. What do you think? A half hour, 15 minutes at a 350 oven?
You're going to find out, but I'm going to say you're going to be 45 minutes.
Really? Right. That much?
You got a lot of them. You've got two big pans.
Right. Right.
And you have to do it that way because you can't take four big pans in a Cambro. That'll waste your whole Cambro on beans.
Right. Well, I'm borrowing yours, too. So
I bet you are.
Yeah, right. I got other coolers, right? Obviously, we have other coolers that we work with. But, that's the only one. It's weird. I got skinless, boneless thighs. I got butts, mac and cheese, asparagus, you know, and these beans. And I've never done beans in bulk like this.
Here's the good news. It's a wedding.
Right.
Everybody's going to be having fun.
Right.
If they're a little bit overdone, as long as they're warm, nobody will care. I would saute up some almond slices in some garlic butter, and I would sprinkle those on at the last before you serve them.
Yeah. Yep. I can do that. Yep. Yeah. Very cool. Well, we blew through the first segment without talking about our beer of the week, so we'll start that on the next segment.
Oops.
With Siciliano's Market here and our beer of the week, we'll open with that. So coming up next, besides that, we're going to talk a little bit about some campfire beats. Stick with us. We'll be back. Heavy glow.
Hi, Brian. This is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are better made.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. Standard Kitchens has remodeled all their stores, all seven of them across West Michigan. Got to get out and check them out. They're going to be having grand openings over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But Barbecue Bob, we missed the Siciliano's Beer of the Week, so we would be remiss if we didn't jump right into that.
I have to correct you. We did not miss it.
Oh.
We've been drinking it.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. We missed talking about it.
Right.
But so take it away, Josh.
It's the Ludington Bay Brewing Company, which is out of Ludington, Michigan, on the shores of Lake Michigan. And what we've got is their West Coast-style IPA. A little heavier one.
Called First Curve.
Right, First Curve, right? And I guess that's a wave reference. But anyway, a little heavier one here. It's 6.8% alcohol, but self-prescribed here as a pale copper-colored hop-forward IPA with a malty backbone. I would say that's aptly named, wouldn't you?
I think it's wonderful. It's on South James Street, so it must be by Jamesport Brewing. If you ever get to Ludington, check these guys out, but make sure you go to Jamesport and say hi to Tom, one of the owners and the master brewer, one of the greatest brewers in Michigan.
Right. Both of those. Yeah, if you're in Ludington and you've got two breweries on the same street, you're doing well, man. There's a lot going on in Ludington. Labor Day's coming up.
I'll be up there next weekend. We do our annual camping trip in the Manistee Forest, so I always run into Ludington and see my niece. She has her and her husband have a Shade Tree Mechanic up there, and it's big garage, and she's just a sweetheart, and it's one of those times when I get to see her. But we'll be camping on Lake Michigan in tents with that whole group we go up with every year, and Maureen will already be up there before I get there.
Surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, she's packing already.
Yeah.
But so a lot of this stuff we're going to talk about is fall camping food. Labor Day weekend kicks off fall and kicks off the cooler weather camping in my book.
Sure,
and
sure.
The way we camp. So I started hauling out the cast iron and all that slow stuff.
You mean
stuff.
Hauling it out? It never goes away, Mr. Dutch oven. It's on here, too. I see that. Yeah.
I discovered something really cool this week. My daughter, Emily, and her two little twins are there, Olive and Charlotte. And I've been having a ball swimming with them every night. And they call me Pops. And, of course, they can have anything they want, right?
Right, right, yeah. But, yeah, how old are they now?
Three.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just adorable. They're gorgeous. But I pulled out my giant Lodge fry pan. I got that great big one with two handles on it.
Yeah, it's like it's like 18 or 24 inches across. It's a big one.
Yeah, it's like that big one I got you, except it's a little bigger,
right?
Which is why I bought it.
I understand, yeah.
But here's what that was cool for. Frying bacon's such a mess.
Yes, it is.
That beautiful thermidor from Garrett's, and it really trashes the top of it.
Uh-huh.
I got this big monster out, and with those big flames that the thermidor throws off, it'll heat this thing up in no time.
Yep.
I'm doing my bacon in this thing. It's got high walls. It's really huge. The grease hardly splatters out of it.
Right.
It's like not any longer stored down in the basement pantry.
Right.
Yeah.
It's now up on the stove and you're cooking everything
all
in it?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
right.
A beast.
Well, when you got a house full, but when it's just you and Mo again, that might be a little bit overkill, brother.
Great for stir fry.
Right. Yeah. How many of those are you going to have a week? Right?
Well, at least one.
Yeah, exactly.
I do fly lice.
So, but yeah, you know what? Cast iron, and it's amazing how easy that stuff cleans up.
So these people we camp with on Labor Day, they're back to nature freaks. You know, they're tree huggers. And but I do learn some things from them. One thing I learned from Kathy is how to do beats around a campfire. And before, when she told me she was doing it, I'm wrinkling my nose going, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then she opened them up out of the foil and then pulled the husk off them. And I ate one, and it's like, oh, my gosh, is that ever different? It's like a red potato. I mean, it's a fantastic thing. You break it open, you throw a little butter on it and a little pepper, salt. Oh, my gosh, beets. Well, they're superfoods,
right.
So you should eat them as much as you can. You might not like pickled beets. I love them. But the beet is a superfood, so you should
try. And a beet is a root vegetable.
It is, like a
root.
Right,
and they're about the size of a baseball.
A potato.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. They're round though, aren't they?
Very round.
Yeah. So they're like a baseball, and so you're not gonna peel this thing before you wrap it up in foil.
No.
You're gonna cut the top off.
You're
it,
just
right?
gonna
because it's got a green that comes out of the top of it.
Yep.
Like it's like a giant radish.
But
right?
Don't cut it at all. You can cut the green off it, but don't slice into that skin.
Right.
It's really thick, and if you have to do is wrap it, literally in foil.
Wash it off. Wrap
and
it.
And then
up.
You set it on the side of your fire. And after about a half hour, you turn it and
180 degrees. So you're cooking both sides. Yep, yep.
And do that several times and until you feel like it's starting to soften up.
Like
it might take
would.
2 hours.
Like a potato. Well, yeah.
Depending on how big your coals are,
right.
How close you are, yada, yada. But I'm telling you, it's a very cool, different thing to make. It's so easy, it hurts.
Right.
And it's super good for you. It's a superfood.
Right.
Beets.
Yeah. Tasty.
It's what's for dinner.
Right. So in addition to things beside the fire, drum roll, please. Oh, Bob wants to talk about something in a Dutch oven. Imagine that.
It's time.
Right.
It's time to pull out your Dutch ovens.
The number on Bob's clock where your 5 should be is got a picture of a Dutch oven. Okay? I'm just saying that. It's always time.
I don't even get that.
It's always time for a Dutch oven in Bob's world.
Well... let's face it. It's whoever invented it, some Hollander. He had it all going.
Give him credit.
He had it all going.
Right.
Some guy like you. You're a Hollander.
Right. Dutch guy, probably. Right.
Yeah.
Named the oven after him.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So I like doing beef roasts when I'm at deer camp or camping because I've got a freezer full of it, and there's nothing better in the world than a chuck roast.
Right. It's just very flavorful.
It's the other superfood.
Right. Yeah.
And all you got to do is put a little beer in the bottom. Throw some onions on it, throw some seasonings on it, and put that lid in there. Put it on your hook or your whatever you want to do. You can dig a hole and throw some coals in the hole. Set your oven in there and throw some coals on top and keep putting coals on top of it if you want. Doesn't matter. You don't have to put a lot of coals under it, I'll tell you that, because it transfers the heat really well. And with that lid on it, it's almost like a pressure cooker.
Wait, almost like an oven.
And
a Dutch oven.
You pull that lid off there. Now, you got to make sure you bring your mitts.
Sure.
Because that cast iron is unforgiving.
Right, yeah. It's not going to go, ooh, I think that's warm. It's immediately it's over.
By the end of the weekend, yeah. I'll guarantee you, I don't care how good you are, you're going to have a scar.
Right, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The handle, the ears on it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But so how do you know, Bob, when it's done in a Dutch oven, right?
A fork.
Right. So you're taking the lid off, but I mean – you don't want to do that every hour.
Give it at least 3 hours.
That's what I was going to say. You don't want to do that every hour, checking it on. So, you're going to put some red hot coals underneath it, and you're going to put some. That's the cool part about a Dutch oven. You know, I give Bob a lot of crap about it, but at the end of the day, it is a cool tool.
It is.
And it's got a little rim around the lid, so it'll hold some coals if you set it on top. You got generally heat transfers up, but it's cast iron, so it'll heat that cast iron. So you got heat coming down from the top. Those coals underneath coming up, and it's like an oven, right? There's heat coming everywhere.
It's a cool tool, fool.
Right. It is a cool tool. but anyway, so a good piece of equipment.
So if you're going to handle something like that, make sure you have some good mitts. I'd get some siliconized oven mitts.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also get some sort of a hook for the lid something other than your tongs. They will not hold that big monster.
Right, it's heavy.
If you had the big 12-quart like mine, it's that lid's probably 10 pounds.
Right.
I mean, and then when you got some coals on it and stuff, you don't want to drop it. You don't want to drop any coals in your roast. So after that thing's been cooking for a couple hours, you can throw some veggies in there if you want. Celery is a big deal.
Right.
I'd start it off with onions and celery.
Right. Coming up next, we might take a little battery-operated rotisserie out to the campsite as well. So stick with us. We'll be back.
It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
This is Jop from The Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And we're talking a little bit about maybe some campfire cooking that you're going to do either this weekend or the official transition from summer to fall is next weekend with that big Labor Day. And there's a lot of camping and cooking going on at that time, too. So we put the beets in the Dutch oven pretty good on that last segment. And Barbecue Bob, you got some tips and techniques for campfire methods you want to talk about, right?
Well, sure. And I also want to give a shout out to all the 98.5 UPS listeners.
Oh, yeah. Covering the North for us.
I have got a lot of text messages last weekend. Of course, I went to middle school and high school in Reed City, Michigan. And UPS just blankets the North with that big 100,000-watt blowtorch. And a lot of my friends are 98.5 fans. So they were texting me, talking about things you and I were talking about the show.
Sure.
Hey, I heard you're not coming up. I heard you're having a pool party, yada, yada.
Right.
So many thanks to the Twister and UPS. You guys do a great job up there. And, of course, our other affiliates, JIM and all these other stations around the state that replay our show.
Sure, man. Sure.
So campfire methods. I guess I found a really cool way to do it by Big Ted up at Whipple. My friend Ted Baucamp's dad.
Oh, that's Big Ted?
That's Big Ted.
I don't know. The Ted that's up there now is a big guy, too.
Well, he's like his dad. So easy. So Big Ted had some stories.
Yeah.
He had some stories of running the roads at night through Idlewild and this and that, and the cops stopping him and making him dump beers out. And he was a hoot.
Back in the day when you could do that. Yeah. You didn't go to jail,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So anyway, Big Ted, he was a heavy equipment mechanic for Dykema, or an operator, I think. But he was a smart guy, and he just came up with this thing where he got some re-rod, and then he got some tubular steel. I'm going to say it's square tubular, and he got like 4 foot chunks of it, and then he bent the ends at a 90.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how he did it because they're beautiful bends. Maybe he found these pieces built for something that way. Either way, we got these two long rods, and he put this re-rod or sucker rod in the ground, and this tubular sits over those.
That's what those were. We put beer cans on them so my dog wouldn't tear her belly up running by them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then he got a piece of like this stainless that was honeycomb, something like Dews would cut.
Right, right.
Dewsma would cut. It's just a piece of stainless with a million holes in it, you know, CNC'd. Yep. And so we have this big sheet of stainless. So we put these two racks down. We build a fire. And when it's time to eat, we just throw that stainless on there. And
over the fire and the coals.
Throw our meat right on there, and it's,
it's like a big griddle.
It's groovy, baby.
Yeah.
It's that. So when you talk about methods, there's a whole bunch of methods. You can home make a method. You know,
you can just
do something like that.
Right. And that's a, you know, I think when you do that, you don't ever want your meat right over where the flames are licking the bottom of it too often.
Have a shovel.
You're right. You want to be around the perimeter. You're going to get the heat, but you don't want that ultra sear that's going to come from the flames themselves.
Right. So have a shovel and be ready to pull some coals over to your cooking area.
Right.
And so if you have a big enough fire area, just put your cooking area on one end of it and take your shovel, get in there and shovel in some coals, and you're good to go.
Right.
You just want the coals.
Right. Exactly.
Shovel.
And you can hang those tripods over top of your fire too. And on the side, maybe just you put half over your fire, and you can hang whole chickens on there, and you truss them, right, with butcher twine.
Do you pluck them
first? And
then you
just hang, And then, you know, come on. And but you can let those things hang there, and they'll cook
gallows.
With that radiant heat is amazing from the coals on a fire.
Yes.
You don't need to be over the fire.
No.
You just need to be close to it.
Right.
And as long as your meat is rotating, you're not going to get it overdone on one side and raw on the other. It's simple.
Yeah, and you don't even have to have a rotisserie. You can simply have your rotisserie bar and get a couple of sticks, literally carve out some green wood and find a couple forked sticks, pound them in the ground on the end of your fire, throw your stainless rod across there and put your meat on there and rotate it manually every 10, 15 minutes because you're going to be dinking around with the fire all afternoon anyway, right?
Right.
You're just hanging out, having beers. Because if you're responsible for cooking, it's an excuse to have a beer.
All right. So word to the wise on that is that if you get these two branches with the Y in them, get them maybe as big around as your wrist. Don't get little ones because that thing
they'll
can
dry
tip.
Out. They'll dry out,
but they'll tip. You got to drive them into the ground long enough, and
they
got to be heavy enough to hold the meat that you've got on the skewer because if it tips over, you're in the dirt or you're in the fire, neither one are good.
Ah, dirt doesn't hurt anybody.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned tripods. Now, when I bought that big Dutch oven I've got, Darlene Lancaster, who used to go to church with us when her husband passed, she sold a bunch of their camping gear, right?
Right.
And she mentioned that in, like, Facebook or something, and I went right over there because it was the big, authentic lodge. And those came with a tripod with the pulley and the hook.
Right.
And that's a really nice tripod. So I have a couple tripods because we had that Bourne Adventures
mm-hmm.
or whatever
yep, yep,
it was.
Yep.
Give us one. And but that's a really...
No, not us. You got one.
You didn't get one?
I did not.
Well, you wouldn't use it anyway.
Right. Okay, yeah, good.
Can't use it.
Cover your tracks.
Can't use it at the Holiday Inn.
Right.
So... tripods, of course, everybody knows what they are. They're great. They're handy. The one I'm intrigued with, and I still don't own, so if you make them and you're listening, send us one. It's the rod that you pound in the ground next to your fire and has all the different devices that pivot around over your fire.
Oh,
one's a grate. One's a hook. One's a, I don't
and
know,
they're,
a griddle.
They're
they
have on, some it's that a single are a rod, and
yeah.
they're they're stacked up on there, and they swing, they pivot on
right,
this rod.
Right,
right. And you swing them out over the fire, and otherwise they're away.
You have to have a little handheld sledge to drive that rod
right.
into the ground.
But yeah, because it might be 2 inches, but it's holding a lot of weight.
It is.
Yeah.
You're going to go in a couple feet when you go in with that.
Right.
You're going to be leveraged with a lot of weight on it.
Yeah.
Especially if you have the skillet one out there. They even have a big skillet on one of them.
Right.
Where you put this for breakfast.
Right.
Kind of nice.
Yeah. Cool way.
I know.
Cool way to cook over
the fire. That's an awesome one. And then, of course, the homemade one is kind of the one like Ted built. But you wanted to mention before the battery rotisserie.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of rotisserie food. You know, we had that Epicure grill.
Epicoa.
Or Epicoa, thank you. Epicure, yeah. Epicoa grill, which we used in tailgates. It's a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, when the meat is moving, it's cooking easy, it's self-basting, and it allows it to get a little crispy on the outside. And I'm using fowl usually. I'm using a duck, or we've done chickens, turkey, all that kind of stuff on there. And as it rotates, and it's that, again, I'm not over the fire, I'm next to the fire, and it's that radiant heat, which is why the rotation helps it cook. And it's just such a great way, because it's effortless. You put it on there and you just watch it, right? Great beer drinking grilling, because you're just watching the thing, and you can tell if it's starting to burn or whatever, move some coals back away, or if it's not cooking fast enough, move some over a little closer. That's just a shovel. Is all that is.
And the nice thing is it's on the end of your fire, so all the grease dripping off of it's going into the dirt.
Right.
And you, it's not
great point.
Up.
So you got no flare-ups, right. So nothing gets burned, and it's easy to do, and it's a little bit of a spectacle. I mean, you know what? Part of the reason that
it's
you and
very
I
very much a spectacle.
Right. Part of the reason that you and I enjoy outside is that it's like you get a little, wow, look at that. That's pretty cool. And this is a way to do it.
So this group we go up with on Labor Day weekend every year, the guy that turned me on to the battery-powered rotisseries is John Bononi.
Okay.
And he does this every year. He has the big battery-powered. And I had never seen one until like 10 years ago when we started going up there. I thought they all had to plug in. Well, so he's famous for doing his chicken on this battery rotisserie.
Right.
He's also famous for serving it around 9 o'clock at night.
So his planning maybe could use a little work.
No, because, actually it works out perfect because we've already eaten 2 or 3 hours earlier, and by the time his chicken's done, we're all ready for a second grazing.
All right.
So it kind of works out well.
Right. Coming up next, walk your taco over to the hash. Stick with us. We'll be back. That's when I'm
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports. Sportsmen serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company. Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Welcome Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. Hey, our friends at Standard Kitchens have remodeled all their stores, and there's seven of them across West Michigan. I know there's one in your neighborhood, and get out there and check it out. All new product. The showrooms are spit shined and polished, and they're going to be doing open houses over the next 3-4 weeks. StandardKitchens.com. You can find all the information, but anyway, Barbecue Bob, we've been talking about a little bit of camping food. But what
yes.
you thinking?
Well, when I leave here, I'm heading down to Allen Bob's. They have a big sale going on right now. And when I leave Allen Bob's, I'm literally driving north to our hunting land on Whipple Lake.
Okay.
Big Ted's land.
Right.
So we're meeting up there. We're going to work on the old Trotwood and try and get another year or two out of it. But our plan is to build a nice hunting shack out there out of rough sawn from the land, because we've got probably 20 acres of standing white pine up there.
Right.
So I want to find a mill up there to turn out some nice rough sawn, and I want to build the ultimate hunting shack. So heading down to Allen Bob's, they have, I think by today now, I think it's up to like 50 or 60% off. By Sunday, it's 80% off.
Right.
So I'm going to go buy some hunting gear and some fishing gear, because I haven't really stocked up yet for this year. I know one thing, I need a new blind. Now, Merle set me up with one of those Browning square blinds a couple years ago. It is fantastic. I love it. I want another one. So I know I'm going to get one of those.
Sure.
And I'm thinking I'm going to get one more chair, not as elaborate as the one I got from them a couple years ago. I had one of those aluminum pivots. It's gorgeous, but it was, you know, a bit pricey. I'm going to try and find a nice tripod chair for maybe $100 or something
right.
like that.
Yep.
But with that big sale, I figure I'm going to get some deals. So
yeah.
Head down to Allen Bob Sports today and try and find those liquidating items, because who doesn't like a sale?
Right, exactly. They are at 131 south of Grand Rapids at 68th Street. You can't miss them. They're on the southeast corner of that intersection of 68th Street and 131. Millbrook Tack is associated with Allen Bob Sports. It's right there on that southeast corner. You can't miss
right. it. My sister-in-law was out last weekend for the baby shower, and her and my niece, who's my godchild, and her daughter, the three of them are like, you can just see the genetic pool. It's three beautiful, right down to a 15-year-old. I mean, they just like triplets. Well, they're big horse people, and she goes to Millbrook exclusively. She lives up in Kentwood or Kent City. And, you know, when I told her where I was headed, she goes, oh, my gosh. She started going off about the gooseneck she bought from them. She bought a horse trailer from them.
Right.
Because they sell everything. But
kinda cool.
Yeah, it's kind of small world.
Right.
Speaking of small worlds, has nothing to do. It's not even a segue. Walking tacos. Here's some camping food that's really easy.
Small minds.
In
big
your
world.
Small world. No, I think that first curve is hitting me with a second curve right now. Walking tacos are something we used to do for fundraisers and whatever, but what we found is when we've got a big group out, we can get, and here's what I like to use, Fritos.
Oh, they're awesome.
Bags of Fritos.
Little individual bags. Not
yes.
not a big one for everybody, yes. but a little individual one.
And just sometimes what I'll do is if I have some leftover barbecue, I'll take some pulled pork and I'll take some brisket, and I'll chop it up and throw it in a bag, make it for a starter mix for my bitchin' beans, right?
Right.
But if I'm going to do walking tacos, I can throw that bag of frozen brisket in my cooler. Now I've got ice.
Right.
And by the time I want to use it, all I have to do is throw it in my
Dutch oven.
And warm it up.
Yeah.
and you put that in you open up your Frito bag, you throw in a little brisket, and you throw in a little bit of cheese on top of it, and just a little bit of finely cut lettuce, and maybe then some salsa in there, and just shake it up a little bit, stir it around a little bit. It is fantastic.
Well, how do you eat it? With your hand, or do you like do a fork?
I pour it in my mouth
from
the bag.
There
honestly,
you go.
I do. No, you take a fork and just scoop it out. But
right.
if you got to get the bigger bags of Fritos, and you might even have to dump some of them out, and they'll disappear. Trust me. The squirrels, the raccoons, somebody will take them.
Seagulls.
Yes.
Right. Anybody, whatever you call your friends,
but
they'll eat your Fritos.
If you're talking about camping food, you're usually doing something. Like we're on Lake Michigan all day, so we don't want to spend a bunch of time doing food. Maureen's doing PB&Js. She brings her famous, world famous now, strawberry jam.
Oh, that is good, and man. Her homemade strawberry jam.
Yeah, and
good.
A bottle, big jar of Skippy, and a couple loaves of some nice cheap white bread.
Bimbo.
Yes. Yeah. And she just sits there and she makes PB&Js, and they just get handed down the beach. If you're at the end of the chairs, everybody's touched your meal. You don't even care.
Yeah. Yeah, why would you?
Keep the seagulls from getting it.
PB&J, right. Yeah.
So you're probably the biggest proponent of the Parkside Kielbasa.
I tell you what, our friends at Sobey Meats have a proprietary blend of seasonings and meat that they turn into this thing called Parkside Kielbasa. And
Kielbasa.
It is an amazing. I told you at the beginning of the show that I'm going to a wedding tonight, and I'm catering a wedding, right? Well, the groom has specifically requested Scotch eggs. Jop, you bring these Scotch eggs. They're amazing.
He must go to deer camp.
Right. Yes, he does.
Okay.
And he's like, I don't know what those things are, but I got to have those at my wedding.
Isn't that sweet?
Right.
And you got to love that guy.
Right. And I want them at like 9 o'clock at night.
I'm surprised.
After we've eaten.
Yeah.
This is after my buddies are drinking beer. Because right. That's what he remembers, right?
So I'm surprised you're even charging him. With a comment like that, you should do the whole thing for free.
Yeah, I hope he's listening or not. But anyway, my point is that this Parkside Kielbasa is wonderfully seasoned, and it's a pork sausage.
Yeah,
right.
So they
and
win,
I buy it uncased.
They win the Kielbasa idol with it every year anyway.
Right. So I buy the uncased and I wrap it around these hard boiled eggs. This is super simple, right? Put it out in a patty, wrap it around, roll it around your hand like you would, and then I put them on the smoker for about an hour and a half, hour 45. And it creates some really, really good man food.
But the segment is for kielbasa hash.
I understand. Okay? We'll get to that.
So you're robbing me. So let's do the kielbasa hash.
No.
So you got to get some Parkside kielbasa.
Right. Which I have.
Yeah. And get it in the links. Okay. And grill it up nice, as Big Paulie would say. And any kind of pork sausage like that, you want to make sure you bring it up to at least 150, 160 if it's from a good butcher. So you grill up this kielbasa, and then you're going to want like a bell pepper diced, some onion diced. You're going to want maybe 3-4 small potatoes. I'm getting all the red new potatoes right now. They're gorgeous. They're fantastic. And then some EVO butter, garlic. I'm going to chop all this up. I'm going to be grilling the kielbasa on the side, and then I'm going to get my big skillet on the fire. And I'm going to start frying these potatoes up. And I'm going to cut them up into hash. This is great for breakfast. Saute the onions, saute the peppers after your potatoes are half cooked.
Right.
Okay? And then throw that. So you're going to chop these kielbasa into small slices. You're going to chop them up. Throw it on top of that hash. Stir it all together, and you got a beautiful medley.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got red and green pepper maybe. You could put some roasted pepper in there if you wanted. If you really want to top it off now, you could crack 3 or 4 eggs if you want to do it for breakfast. You could crack 6 to 8 eggs, throw it on top, cover it with cheese, put your lid on it, and just pull it off to the side and let that thing come into a nice crash landing.
Right.
And then you've got a gorgeous hash.
And that's some man food. Would love. Man, it's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man!
You know, camping like this and camp food, it is manly stuff. But women like it too. It's not just for men, obviously. So I'm not like a sexist about it or anything. But when it comes to the man side of things, you do have certain responsibilities, which is one reason you want to be careful and make sure you stay in control. Don't have too many beers when you're in the woods, okay? Keep your cool. But today's man law has all about your responsibility, and today's man law is don't panic. Men shall remain calm in the face of danger. A man is a pillar of strength. And keeping your wits about you is an important thing.
Right.
Your woman wants to know you're going to protect her.
That's right.
You have to be that pillar.
Right. Bob the Pillar. Coming up next, we're going to do some portable camping grills and bring this train to the station. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hey, this is Joff from The Grillin' Guys. Build or redecorate with composite decking by TimberTech. Now through July 31st, you can save an extra 5% when you purchase both your composite decking and premium deck railing from Standard Lumber. TimberTech decking starts at $1.75 per lineal foot and is available in many styles and finishes. Visit your local Standard Lumber location for details and enjoy the outdoors on your new redecorated deck. Check them out at standardlumber.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Back, you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. Going to bring this train to the station, I think, Bob. We've been talking about some campfire food, and one of the pieces of equipment that should be in every camper's arsenal is a good portable grill. There's a few of them out there. I have fond memories of one of the very first times that we ever met. You had that little one that come together as a
son
client.
Of a bocce,
right? That son of a bocce, and it was a charcoal grill. But it folded up in half, and you
that
put
was
it in
a clever fire, device,
right? It put it in a fireproof case, right?
Snuffer bag,
right? And so when you were done tailgating, you could fold the thing up. The coals were right in it. You put it in a snuffer bag, snuffing meaning putting it out,
not film,
right? And and you could just, you know, I think we left it outside the car just in case,
right?
But it was in the bag, and when you got done after the game, it was cool, and you could put it anywhere.
It had frost on it,
right? But just a cool, you know.
Yeah, that's son of hibachi.
Right.
Now, when I was in the service in the Pacific, fighting the battles of Kona,
brutal battles.
We had hibachis, and they were made in Taiwan. They were little cast iron hibachi grills.
Right. They had like two or three levels at the grate.
You pull the grate out, yeah. And you could just put it on the rack.
Right. Yep.
And I'll tell you what. Everybody in the islands had a hibachi or two, and you took them everywhere. That's just how you cooked.
Right.
Because it was self-contained, it was very efficient,
yep.
And it came from Taiwan, so we knew it was good.
Right, right.
Well, the Asians had a big influence in Hawaii, and so that was just something, just like the big green egg literally came from, I think, Taiwan or Japan. They were clay pots, right? And
right.
Air Force guy started importing them in the 60s, and then they turned it into the big green egg. And so there was Asian influence is prevalent in grilling just like it is in anything else. But the hibachi is nice. There's also a company called Lodge that makes cast iron cookware, and they sell Lodge makes a beautiful hibachi, and it's very intricate. It looks like Lodge. I mean, everything they make just has this
solid. Yeah.
Abe Lincoln had one of these look to
right,
it.
Yeah.
But Lodge makes one. You can order those online. I don't know what they are. They're a couple $100 probably, but that's on my wish list. And Lodge, if you're listening,
right. Yeah.
That's the next thing you need to send me.
Right. Yeah. It's not like he's not a strong endorser of the product, right? Yeah. I mean,
well, you back it up with the innuendo, or as right. Archie Bunker would say, innuendo.
Yeah, that too. But you know, the one that I enjoy that we bring, and it works off a battery too, is that Epicoa. They don't make them anymore, but it's the same thing. It's a rotisserie grill. Touched on it a little bit earlier in the show, but any time that this thing was self-contained, it had a little suitcase.
Right.
If you
so
will.
Hold on. So, Carson Grills is back in business. Now, the first time I saw it, it was a Carson. Epicoa bought them, made the big blow up, and then fell apart. You know, funding ran out, they overinvested, whatever. Yeah, you know how that goes. So, this guy named, we had him on the show, something Carson. It's called Carson Grills, C-A-R-S-O-N. He still makes all sorts of those rotisserie grills. We should have him back on the show, actually, because you love rotisseries. I'll tell you what. Next weekend, I'm going to get him back on the show because you love rotisseries.
Well,
so
thank you. You're just that kind of guy, man.
He builds and sells lots of these. I think he's having them built in Brazil, and he brings up all sorts of other Brazilian rotisserie grills. And Carson Rodizio, it's called.
Okay.
And that is a really cool thing. We need to go further into that. You're onto something there.
Right.
So let's get after it. And right. I hope you all have a great weekend.
Yeah, likewise. And, you know, get out there and create a little grill envy in your backyard. You got a couple more weekends of official summer, and then the fall will kick in. But we appreciate you listening each and every week, and we'll talk with you next week.
See you.